friends. Country been down so long, it's a must I win. Hold my place like cast iron, won't break, won't bend. Stuck them racks in an all black Camuto bag. Louis V, Drake, Dover starch, Bowman pants. Used to rock them camo.
Hey, what's good, everybody? This is your boy, The Real Reggie. Here solo tonight, because you already know that life be locking sometimes, and this isn't the usual night that we record. In fact, this will actually be a pre-recorded episode because we will not be able to go live tomorrow or on Thursday. But there are some things that we definitely need to get into and talk about that we haven't been able to for the beginning of the year. And with the draft party coming up next week, I think there's some things that we probably definitely need to get over and get done. And just bring you in on some things that's been happening. Call this the spring cleaning episode, you know, right before y'all come over for the party, man. We can't let y'all come into, you know, a dirty house. So this is our spring cleaning. We want to bring y'all up to date on some of the bigger things that's been happening in the sports world right now. And I think there's no better place to start than the NBA. It's something that we as first rounders have been neglecting this year, since the beginning of the year. And you're not going to hear me say too many bad things about the first rounders. I mean, come on now. We're damn near perfect sports cast anyway. But we have definitely, you know, been derelict in our duties of reporting the NBA so far. A lot of that's just because of the fact that we just haven't been able to keep up or haven't been able to keep up with the NBA. And we definitely apologize for that, though. But we're going to try to make up for it tonight and get into the play-in, because the play-in is happening right now. It actually began last night with the Lakers, Pelicans, and the Kings, Warriors games. And tonight we have Sixers Heat, which concluded with the Sixers moving on to getting that seventh seed. And right now the Hawks and the Bulls are playing, and the Bulls are putting a thump on the boys right now, though. I mean, What can I say about the Hawks? I mean, again, I think I've actually done a lot to avoid talking about NBA, because it means talking about a team that's just, again, if management and ownership doesn't give a damn about the team, why should I at this point? It hurts to say it as a fan, but again, there's going to have to be some tough conversations and some adult decisions that's going to happen if they do lose tonight. I mean, again, I'm a fan. I hope they can go as far as humanly possible. But again, this isn't if you pay attention to them, you know this team isn't good. This team just wasting time. If they do somehow beat the Bulls, they got some good hits in on the Celtics. They have some shocking upsets of them last month, but realistically, they're not going far. Even just showing up is not enough now. We need to actually start being a serious organization. And we're going to see exactly how serious they're going to be. But again, ever since Wrestler has gotten hold of this franchise, there's nothing that's going to convince me that these boys are going to be anything except a very unserious organization. So again, the Hawks, whatever. But that's the biggest thing that's happened so far is, well, the Lakers escaped by the skin of their teeth against the Pelicans, the Game Pelicans, rather. You got to give it to them. It was Zion Williamson just absolutely showed up. Again, this is one of the reasons why he said, if y'all been following us for a long time, probably to realize, you know, we've been hard on the young man from Duke for a while. But again, we see game, we see what he can do when he's actually serious about his craft. And hey, he almost took it from the brink. And you got to get props. We're going to get props for props to do. Now, young man deserves props, but it wasn't enough. And the Lakers are going on to take on the defending champions, the Denver Nuggets. I didn't like their chances last year. Last year they got swept. may not get swept this year. Maybe they do. I think this is definitely a worse Lakers team than last year. But either way, I still don't like their chances against. I definitely don't like their chances against the Nuggets and the current MVP, the Joker. That ain't what they want. Even though, again, I would definitely love to see LeBron get another ring before it's all said and done. This Nuggets team just isn't what they want. So again, they live to see another day, but how far they go from there, your guess is as good as mine, good listeners. But the biggest news so far of this play-in is that maybe, I think we probably have said this before though, but I think now we could say Finn to the dynasty that was Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green era. The boys just got completely slapped there. The Kings got their get back from last year. Kings just did whatever they wanted to go to state, and there was really nothing they could do about it. I mean, Klay Thompson was 0-for-10 last night. If you wouldn't even said this 2 years ago, again, you would probably be laughed out of whatever barbershop that you would have said it in, bro. But yeah, this guy, probably one of the greatest shooters we've ever seen in our lifetime, now just looks like a complete shell of his former self. He's going into the offseason as an unrestricted free agent, and I just literally can't see how the Warriors could justify keeping him. That is, if he's not going to take, a lesser role. He was coming off the bench earlier this season. Again, he might have to fully transition to that role now. Again, he's just, he's coming off of some tough injuries, but he just does not look. This is nowhere it says Splash Brothers, shoot, it might as well just be one Splash Brother. He's definitely not Splash Brothers no more. He does not look like the same player that helped. That was a very, very integral part in the four championships that was been won during that run for the Golden State Warriors. But Draymond has become his own liability in some ways. That extension now is looking real funny in the light. Nobody's gonna want to pick up his contract. Steph still got some game left. If you're primarily known for your shooting is one of the last things to go. As when you get older in your basketball career, I think he still probably has some high level ball still left in him. But in terms of what those other two that I mentioned can do for this team now, I think it's done. I really think it's done now. Again, we've been speculating. We've been hitting. Again, the signs have been there. But of course, hey, what can you do for your ownership or your management? I mean, this is something that's been going on for a good bit. But again, as cliche as it is, Father Time is undefeated, and eventually these runs have to end. And now this is like it's too late to get in anything good for either of these players. Now, like I said, you have to again make some decisions. You might have held on to both Klay and Draymond longer than you probably should have, and now you're probably going to be paying the consequences for it. I mean, Wiseman turned out to be a bad pick. Kuminga has come on, but in terms of this iteration of the Warriors now being, serious contenders from here on out, again, it's been a good run. But all good things must come to an end. And unfortunately, a lot of people find that out the hard way instead of knowing when to cash out. They usually hold on, chase that feeling for as long as they can, though. But when they realize that it's not meant to be anymore, it's too late. And I think it's definitely too late for the Warriors right now. It's going to be interesting to see how they pivot to this new generation that's coming up. But yeah, that's all they got in for the play-in, and like I said, I definitely think that probably the major contenders are probably, we know exactly who we think they're going to be. Yeah, the Nuggets are going to be a tough out. The The Celtics probably going to be brother with a team in the East. I mean, yeah, there's a reason why we really haven't paid attention to basketball. It really hasn't been that intriguing, but it's going to be interesting to see how far Minnesota can go. Because watching Anthony Edwards' development has been you know fun to watch. Watching the development of the baby Thunder has been you know very fun too. That's a team that's been you know just far ahead of the curve. And are they true contenders now? I don't think so. But again, it's going to be fun to see exactly how far they can go. But other than that, I'll be lying to y'all if I told y'all that I really, really been excited for these NBA playoffs. And this is really the time of year I really am, really do come alive for the NBA. But I don't know. I tell you what, I am definitely looking forward to, though, is the men's basketball team for the 2024 Olympics, though. That's, I've been talking to Brandon in the group chat a lot about it. And again, if y'all been following us for a while, we've told you that the USA team that we thought that could possibly be brought together would not be a gold medal favorite if things turned out the way that we thought they would. But looking at this final team, I think they should definitely be favorites now with the bullet. Actually, again, they got the size. They got size at center, size you know in the front court. They got size on the wings. I think getting Joel Embiid was definitely a big coup if he could actually you know play. So it give you some you know very good, at least give you something that makes Joel Embiid. I mean, a 7-footer that can shoot. Get perfect for the space and pace that we normally see from international play. And then again, we got some guys who can shoot it. Again, good size on the wings and good defenders. Anthony Edwards, who was the breakout star for the FIBA championships, he's back. I'm surprised LeBron came back. I thought that the 2021 Olympics. It was supposed to be the 2020 Olympics, but a little thing called COVID happened. But I thought that Tokyo would be LeBron's last run with the team, but he's coming back. Steph has finally showed up for you know a team you know USA run, and I definitely like what these boys have, and you know we're definitely going to keep you all up to date. So with the Olympics, we gave you all some A1 Olympic coverage last time, so expect nothing less from us this time. So we're definitely going to bring you the Olympics, and the U.S. men's basketball is definitely going to be a very fun watch coming up for you know this coming year. And baseball started almost within 3 weeks of baseball action, and the Braves just cannot catch a break. Lost possibly their new ace Spencer Strider going down due to UCL surgery. Ozzie Albies is now on the 10-day IL because of a hit, because of being hit by damn pitch. Braves are taking it from all sides, but yet they're still 12-5 and looking like a team that can still you know do some damage. I mean, they just swept the Houston Astros, a team that's been arguably the gold standard in the AL. They haven't had the best of starts, and of course, that's one thing you have to just you know keep in mind. You know, most teams haven't played no more than 20 games. So I'm definitely not going to be I'm not giving any takes or giving, you know, really any thoughts for again, 20 games into 162 game season. But again, a lot of people expect the Braves to be there along with the Dodgers. So the Yankees have started off hot. So again, the usual suspects that we think are going to be there by September are shown early on exactly who and what they are. I think that in terms of the pitching staff, Ronaldo Lopez has been an early, you know, surprise, and he's definitely been holding his own to try to, you know, stabilize this rotation. Chris Sale had a couple of good starts before he got shelled in his last outing, but again, he was brought in, you know, to be a three or a four. Again, hopefully he could find, you know, something to actually, you know, be. He has to be almost a two now because Max Fried hasn't really been Max Fried's self. He bounced back in the Miami series, but this past game against the Astros, he, again, it wasn't a terrible outing, but you, like, walked four, gave up three earned. Like, he has a 7+ ERA so far in the season. That is not ace numbers. Again, this is the guy who was your opening starter last year. And definitely, if he wasn't going to be your ace, he was your at least ace B. I said him and Spencer Stroud, whoever you think are the aces, again, swap places, though. They're 1A, 1B in the Braves book, and he definitely has not been that so far. So whatever's going on with Max, hopefully he can get it turned around shortly because, yeah, we need – the offense is going to do their thing, man, but the rotation definitely needs to be stabilized, you know. Charlie Morton has, you know, been steady. That's what we've known Charlie to be. So, again, Ronaldo Lopez being, you know, he's been a whole lot better than I thought, especially since I thought he was probably going to originally be, you know, coming from the bench, but they decided to actually train him as a starter, and that might have been one of the more genius things that Snicker and his staff have thought to do. So, and they're still chugging along, 12-5, still running the NL East. Hey, slight work. There's always slight work when it comes to the Bravos, man. So hopefully they can, you know, stabilize things, keep this thing, you know, above water until we can get everybody healthy. Yeah, we can finally, you know, figure out how to get this rotation stabilized. But as I've said before, we have our annual draft party is coming up. So if you all can, you know, join in, you already know we're definitely gonna love having you. We're gonna have other special guests. You know, it's gonna be me. It should be me, King Leon, and Corporal Rivers. You know, Brandon's gonna be doing his birthday thing or whatever. Those a whoop de doo for him, man. But he's gonna decide to just skip Brookwell's birthday. Anyway. But yeah, y'all definitely join us, man. So grab your favorite beverages, grab your favorite snacks, and grab some wings. You know, we're gonna cover the first round all next Thursday, and y'all already know how we do, man. So it's gonna be a lot of partying, a lot of shit talking. Y'all know. Again, I'm not gonna stop. Y'all gonna see who all is gonna join in though, man. But again, tap in with us. It's going to be a good time as always. We're going to be here for the entire first round. So, again, shoot the shit. We're going to have shit to shoot. We all know how we do. So, definitely join us next week. We definitely look forward to it. And to help prepare y'all for the draft, again, we got a little over a week left. And I think that we probably know exactly how the first three picks are going to go. Of course, you know, we're always going to hear about different things now. I think I saw a story on ESPN saying that Jaden Daniels might not be a lock, quote unquote, to the Commanders. But it seems like every other day we're hearing, you know, oh, they like Jaden Daniels. They like Drake May. Again, if the Falcons were in the position, I would absolutely, you know, go with the young man who played for the Bayou Bengals. But it looks like, again, we already got our quarterback for now. We just need to see what we can, you know, get shaking on defense. So that's all I just hope, man. They get shaking on defense. Hopefully, maybe we can actually solve the riddle that's been the pass rush for the longest time. I'm praying that a lot of mocks have us drafting Dallas Turner, but I don't know, y'all. The athleticism is there. Not saying that the young man don't have game. But I think Turner is a boom or bust prospect for us. And again, looking at our luck at edge, I might lean more towards the the bust possibility. I don't know, man. I'm seeing more of a high end, or at least a higher ceiling, Arnold Ebiketie is what I see in Dallas Turner. Again, if it was me, it might sound biased though, but I would definitely go with the Jared Verse. I think he's a safer pick. I think he's somebody who has shown that he can, you know, do it at a high level for a few years. And again, I think he's safer between you know, the upside of Dallas Turner and the production of Lai Tulatu from UCLA, who has a dubious, you know, injury history. I think the safer bet between both of them, I think, will be Verse. But again, I'm not the one getting paid millions of dollars to run this team. So they're going to have to figure that out. And whatever they do figure out, it has to shake. Because again, y'all know me. Your boy's tired. Your boy's tired as a Falcons fan. whatever they do, I just hope they make them next move the best move. But in terms of the draft, I don't think the draft doesn't start until the fourth pick. And to see if Arizona can actually trade that pick away, and if Minnesota can actually, you know, get up and get that pick. So, again, I've seen some scenarios, and in fact, most mock drafts that don't normally predict trades are predicting the Minnesota Vikings to trade up to that spot that the Arizona Cardinals currently possess now. And probably select J.J. McCarthy with that pick. I think that pick would be a reach, an absolute reach. But there's something, you know, that has you to think, you know, especially with Minnesota getting they did that pick swap with the Texans, and there's just one team that I think before them. That's picking in that top 10 that they're probably looking to just get ahead of, even if it means, you know, just you know, reaching for a prospect. I think they could absolutely get McCarthy at that current spot. I think at 11. Y'all know my feelings on McCarthy. They still haven't changed. I don't think he's anything special. But, again, there's always seems to be that quarterback that has everybody infatuated and think they can actually, you know, get something out of him. And 3 years later, that quarterback gets the entire front office fired. And, hey, I'm looking at you, J.J. McCarthy. You're probably going to be the person that's going to get your coach in front office fired in the next 3 years. But I think Minnesota's probably going to risk that, because I think that the Giants at six is probably going to be, again, it almost reminds me of San Francisco trading up a spot before the Falcons did back in 2021, when the Falcons had the fourth pick and San Francisco made sure to move ahead of them. Cause again, maybe it's just me hoping it gets hope though. But I think if Trey Lance didn't get picked up by the Niners at three, we probably would have actually been the one to grab him. And again, maybe the Niners saved us with something, because that man is currently collecting splinters on Dallas's bench. So yeah, maybe it did work out in the end, all things, not just, you know, with that pick, but with, you know, everything that occurred, you know, just 3 years afterwards. So again, hindsight's 2020 on that. No one to, you know, dwell too much on those happenings, but that's what I'm thinking, that Minnesota is probably going to try to just trade up to get ahead of the Giants. I think that, again, I think they said something, because again, if you're the Giants, if you're Brian Daboll, are you really going to put your career on the line? Are you really going to trust Daniel Jones to keep your job there? I think we all know the answer to that. So a lot of mocks have them picking a receiver, possibly, you know, Malik Nabers. More than likely, if he does get picked up by the Chargers, the pick before. But like I said, I think that, again, the draft will begin at pick four. Whatever Arizona does is going to be, that's where the draft is going to truly, you know, start to shake. So, and I think that they being the Vikings, have they have a sense that the Giants might swing again. I think the Giants reaching for a quarterback, whether it be McCarthy there or even, you know, Penix, will probably be a reach. But I definitely think that, you know, both McCarthy and Penix are going to be first rounders. They're going to be chosen somewhere in the first round. And funny thing is, Walters Football actually has Bo Nix going number 12 to the Broncos. And I want to see a certain person's reaction next Thursday if that actually, you know, turns out to be the case. But yeah, a lot of interesting things are about to, you know, happen on Thursday night. And I think the reactions are definitely going to be worth the price of admission. So again, if y'all want to come tap in for you know, the first round of this draft party, we're here. We definitely welcome you. But again, it'll be BYOB, but we'd definitely love to have you either way. So that's really about it, y'all. I'm not going to hold you all up. This is just a little something, you know, to get you all through the weekend, since we will not be recording a live episode. But again, if you're able to join us, big shout out to you. Shout out to everybody who's been rocking with us since day one. Again, this is episode 149 and 2/3. This isn't 150th yet. Again, we have something special saved up for the 150th, which will more than likely be right after we do our draft episode. So we're going to make sure everybody's here. We're going to definitely, you know, we're going to reminisce over some of the better moments, the best moments of the first rounder so far. And again, rock with us for another 150 episodes, everybody. Appreciate you all for joining in. And again, y'all make the show. Good, bad, indifferent comments, just leave them with us. And hope to see y'all again next Thursday. And till then, y'all be easy.
Meditate, sell the things that I cannot change. Like I never sell my ass or my soul for fame. I'm so player, pimp tight, real kosher. I'm debonair, don't need no deal or exposure.